sweaty and wet and moist as I am?
Wow,
no one. Everyone here is air conditioned and feeling wonderful. Wow.
You
wow.
have another storm, right?
I will, sort of. Okay, I made it just as the heavens were opening up and the big raindrops were coming down, so I made it on time, but I was very sweaty. I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. Welcome to Not in My Backyard. This is a show where we talk about local politics and we talk about all of the issues causing drama in neighborhood Facebook groups and the Nextdoor app all around the city.
We are a married couple. We like to get that out of the way. So you're like, is there a will they, won't they? They did. They did many years ago.
We have a great panel tonight.
Yeah.
Some very smart and funny people who are going to be coming on stage to discuss things with us. But we also have a very smart audience.
I'm very impressed with our audience. They know more than me. I guess everyone should be hosting this show.
So we like to do a couple of quiz questions at the top of the show so you guys can show how smart you are. So here's the first question. How many tons of dog poop do New York City dogs produce a year? How many tons?
Tons.
And you can shout out answers, and it's the closest without going over.
Yeah, price is where it rolls.
100 tons. 63,000.
63,000 tons, wow.
Okay. Who else? 100? 700?
A shit ton.
That
might be the winner. I love a pun.
What was the highest number said that was under 63,000?
A shit ton.
2,500? The answer is 27,000.
27,000 tons.
So that is 54 million pounds of dog poop produced by New York City.
Honestly, I'm getting very anti-dog doing this show. There's a lot of... I love dogs. I think they're adorable. But I feel like it's really, like, making me not like them.
They're tough in cities.
Yeah, they're hard in cities.
We're going to do one more quiz, and this is going to involve two people coming on stage to go head-to-head in this quiz. And the question I'll tell you before you volunteer is, who can name the most New York governors of the past 100 years? Okay, and maybe if you can name three, you can win.
So I mean, truly, guys.
Don't know that many.
We don't know.
So if you think you can name more than a couple,
I hope everyone here can name at least one. Raise your hand, guys.
Right here?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
No, you're counting? Okay.
I don't know. I think maybe you might be forced to come up. All right, anyone else? We need two people.
Okay,
all right,
we
come
got
on
one.
Up, come
we
up.
Got one.
We got one. You can't have her do it alone.
Anyone else?
Okay. Come on.
Yeah, you got it. We got to come on.
All right, what's your name?
Dana.
Dana. All right,
welcome, Dana, everyone.
Dana, are you a New Yorker?
Yeah, I was born and raised.
Born and raised. Well, now you're setting the bar pretty high. What's your name?
Dan.
Dan, are you a New Yorker?
For 10 years now.
Okay. So wait, you are a born and bred New Yorker. Does that mean he's a New Yorker now? 10 years.
Ten. Come on.
Everyone's a New Yorker.
That makes me think you're not a real New Yorker because our children are real New Yorkers. They've been born here, and he said, you've only lived here for 20 years? That's so crazy. You're not a New Yorker.
The way this is going to work is we're going to go back and forth. You'll name one. Dan will name one. We'll go back and forth to see who runs out first. So be strategic with what you say. Yeah. So
all right.
We'll start
with
Dana.
All right, we'll start with you.
Cuomo Sr.
Mario Cuomo. Okay.
Hochul.
Kathy Hochul.
Pataki.
Cuomo Jr.
Hugh Carey.
Nice.
Wow. Deep cut. Think of airports, you know?
Because I know it's not LaGuardia.
That's a good clue.
Oh, right. Yeah. And JFK, right?
Also, no. No.
All right, we're going to give it to Dana. Give it up, everybody.
Dana, good job.
Thank you,
LaGuardia was a mayor. Oh,
yeah,
man. Wow, I really steered you wrong there. Luckily, the prize is $7,000.
Does anyone have any governor names they want to yell out that were missed? Anyone? Spitzer?
Oh.
Remember him?
Do you guys remember Herbert Lehman? Remember Herbert? Good old Herb. We loved Herbert.
FDR? Would have
Franklin Avril Harriman? These are made up. You made these up.
No, these are from the past 100 years. Okay, thank you guys. Thank you to Dan and Dan for volunteering. So we're going to get the show started. But before we get started, I want to say that our next show is going to be in September. We're taking August off because Mike Johnson told us to go home and take an August recess. But we'll be back on Wednesday, September 24th at 7 p.m. right here at UCB Theater. This show is a podcast, so you can subscribe and rate and listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And follow us on Instagram at NIMBY_show.
Yeah.
To find out about more shows. Okay, are you guys ready to meet our panel?
Great panel tonight!
Okay, let's have a little panel music. And please welcome the co-founder of Abundance New York. Please welcome Catherine Vaughn!
He is a director and writer for shows like Jesus and Marrow and The Opposition with Jordan Klepper. Please welcome Justin Tyler.
She is perhaps the person most responsible for the fall of Andrew Cuomo. Please welcome whistleblower, feminist, and mom, Lindsay Boylan.
Oh my gosh, guys. So excited. So much to talk about.
Oh, yes.
So much. New York has always got a lot going on. That's why we like to live there. Could you guys have named more than three governors of New York State?
I think I blocked a lot of them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One who shall not be named.
Yeah.
All right. We want to start with some light news. This is a story from earlier this month that I thought was amazing. If we could get photo number one up, this is a parking space pool. So this is this is a massive street-side swimming pool that was set up in the Bronx earlier this month. It was erected by longtime block resident Kenny Perez, an ex-city lifeguard and swim instructor, for his son's birthday. He bought the pool off of Facebook Marketplace and used plywood to send water from a fire hydrant into the pool to fill it up. So the fire hydrant, he opened the fire hydrant and the water just bounced along.
That's not a pipe, that's just a piece of wood.
Just a piece of wood.
Wow. That's Roman. That's downright Roman.
That is. It's an aqueduct.
Yeah.
So,
it's a genius.
I don't understand the logistics of that wood, I have to say.
I think the fire hydrant just comes out so forcefully that they just naturally went up the way. Yeah. So this is like,
I mean, it's not like they got every drop in the pool. Like, I don't think, it wasn't a perfection.
Yeah.
So what does everybody think about the parking space pool, and how many parking spaces per block should we convert to pools next summer?
One a block. We need one a block.
Yeah, I agree.
And in winter, ice rinks.
Or hot tubs.
Okay, now we're... I don't know if Plywood Guy's going to have a hot tub element ready on hand, but I mean, it's... I live in Brooklyn, in Crown Heights, Bed-Stuy area, and it's a shame we lost all of our outdoor restaurants, which were awesome. Put a pool in.
I know. We don't need more parking, actually. And the Jane Jacobs pool model, I think, is a great idea. Every block should have a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, eyes on the street, eyes in the pool, right? Catherine, what do you think?
So I love it. I mean, we have 3 million parking spaces that we give away for free. So I think, like, a million? I mean, it could just be...
Yes.
Be multiple.
I love it.
Million
I love
pools.
It.
To be fair, we are asking you this on the hottest day of the year so far, so I think we're all... If anyone that says they don't want a pool in this weather, I don't know what's wrong with you.
The cleaning would be an issue.
I don't know. Is he doing a chemical check on that? Is there a chlorine ratio level situation?
I think it's like the dog pee signs in the tree pits. Like, go in your own risk and don't destroy the flowers situation.
Although I had a pool like that growing up. We had one of those above ground pools, and you just get one of those kits and you did test it, and you drop the stuff in, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to just be for his kid's birthday party, but I think it ended up staying up for 3 or 4 days, but eventually the authorities said you gotta take this.
Smashed it.
I would be nervous about the next day, seeing what people have thrown in there. Cigarette butts, you know, other random...
The animal corpses.
Yeah.
I used to live out in, like, the edge of Carroll Gardens, Red Hook, and my landlord, he owned, like, 4 buildings, they all had the words, "My girls" etched in stone on them. Very Italian. He once had my now wife drive him to the city to try on fur coats to make sure the gun pocket looked good.
Wow.
So that's like a hardcore Brooklyn. He had an inflatable pool in front of his place, and one of the cops came and popped it eventually. It was like a tragic end. Yes.
Okay, we have one more pool topic. Gotham has reported that 44 of the city's 52 public pools had to close at least once last summer due to poop. New Yorkers lost a combined 600 hours of swimming time as a result of incidents. The Parks Department defines a situation where a solid or formed stool is released into the water as a level one incident. More serious level two alerts are reserved for liquid feces and require longer closures. When is the last time anyone on the panel visited a public pool in New York City, and what is your favorite?
I thought you were going to say, when was the last time anyone on the panel pooped in a public pool?
Yeah. Give us a number for your recent poops, everybody. Let's go down the line. I mean, in my neighborhood, there's a pool in Jesse Owens Park that is like a little tiny pool, and it is the most regulated space in New York City. You have to...
I've heard that.
They're very, very strict.
There are a lot of rules to get into the
pool. You have to bring your own lock. You can't have any smartphones, I think, on the deck.
You can't wear certain colors, right?
Yes. No hats.
They have rules about colors.
Yeah. No, they don't really want you to have a book. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah, they're pretty locked down. I think you can't wear any colors. I think if you're wearing like a shirt, it has to be white. If you have like a swim shirt. But I love our city's public pools. I've taken my kids on our cargo bike to probably 10 different ones. And I'm going to give Astoria Pool as my vote for my favorite. Just beautiful view of the bridge and the water there. And they just redid it. I haven't been since they redid it.
Wow.
But highly recommend checking out the public pools. They're enormous.
How many number ones have you encountered?
I've encountered a few different level two incidents. No, never. I mean, it's at least they're closing the pools and reporting on these things and taking care of them.
Here's the thing, that's disgusting.
How does anyone poop in a pool?
How do you poop in a pool?
Babies.
It's not adults.
I would be like,
but don't they wear the diaper?
Yeah.
That's not.
I mean, look, I actually have never encountered this with my kids, but like, I feel like the diaper can't contain.
No way.
I think the swim diaper, it's just something to make everybody feel a little bit better about the situation.
It's like a medium-sized Speedo on a truck. It's not doing the work.
I have to say, I think it's contained a few incidents when I had my children in swim diapers.
There was a level one situation.
But there's not a germ barrier. There's a leak. There's a live leak.
That's true.
But I will say, like, this story sounds gross. It turns people off from going into pools. I come from a pond lifestyle where it's all number twos. It's like one big number two of nature. It's nature's number two that you swim in. There's no barrier between you and any animal that just happened to wander past. So you're scaring everyone with this story when I say this is the best pond you could ever be in.
And with no sharks.
Yes.
No sharks. We just got back from South Carolina. There's sharks in the ocean. There's no sharks here in the pool. So kudos to that.
Central Park has a new pool too, by the way. It's like the scene. It's like a club.
I'm very excited to check out the Davis Center.
It's very cool.
Yeah, we biked by there as they've been building it. It looks huge.
It is massive.
But yeah, highly recommend. We can't all have rich friends that live in a high rise with a rooftop pool, you know? Although we try. We do try.
All right, we're going to start with the mayoral election. Our show last month was actually the day after the election when Zoran Mamdani emerged as the victor after the first round of ranked choice voting. After all of the ranked choice votes were tabulated, weeks later, Mamdani was over 12 points ahead of second-place finisher Andrew Cuomo. Mamdani just got back from some vacation visiting family in Uganda. And meanwhile, Cuomo has declared he's actively running as a third-party candidate. Independent Mayor Eric Adams is also running on a third-party line. Curtis Sliwa is running as a Republican nominee. And some dude named Jim Walden is also running. What does the panel think? Does Mamdani have this on lock? Or are the next 3 months going to be insane?
Yes, he has it on lock, but he's going to make the next 3 months insane because he needs to earn a mandate. You know, he needs to be able to tax the rich. He needs to be able to do all the things that are required to help the city, in my view. And that means all of us have to help him if you're like me and you're supporting him.
Nice. Give it up. Let that clap hang. I think he's got it on lock, and it's crazy how these old number two incidences are going to fuck around for the next months, and they're just going to make themselves look much, much worse, except for Curtis Sliwa, who's going to emerge as some sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe villain, which he's right on the edge of doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking good for Mamdani, but it's just a funny situation where, like, Sliwa could win with like 29% of the vote. So like, I do think that like Mamdani is working for it, and I think it's part of his ethos. I think it's part of his ethos that he talks to everyone. He got so many people registered who weren't, yes, you know, registered at all in the primary. So I think he knows he needs to earn the votes. But it's interesting to see the money people freaking out and chasing after one person and chasing after another and realizing that like Cuomo on vertical video isn't working after.
And how many desperate old men can't give it up?
Do you think that there's any Gen Zers who are going to be tricked into voting for Cuomo by his TikTok? Hi, I'm getting my car jumped. That's a normal thing that happens when you live in New York. And you're like, okay,
well,
sure.
Catherine, your organization, Abundance New York, you endorsed Lander first, right?
We endorsed Myrie and Lander. Yes, Myrie and Lander. Picks.
Yeah. So how is the run on housing? I know that there's maybe some people in the YIMBY housing world or the Abundance housing world were skeptical of some of his plans, but it seems like he's coming around. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, the way that we looked at it was, you know, the beauty of ranked choice voting is that you can be expressive. You can talk about who you love the most, even if your person is polling at 1% and is unlikely to win. But you can also be strategic, and you can put the person on your ballot among the front runners that you think will be better for the city. And so we gave people a full 5 recommendations, and we put Mamdani on our ballot over Cuomo and for a bunch of reasons. You know, I think Mamdani, in the first place, his vision is an affordability agenda, which is very much aligned with an abundance agenda. I think the idea of abundance is that everyone has everything they need, right? More than enough of everything they need. I think in terms of his housing policy, you know, our take was freezing the rent is fine, but it doesn't get you all the way there. There's a lot of, you know, freezing the rent could have some adverse consequences. We won't get into it, but we need more supply. We need to build more. Like, just freezing the rent is not going to bring down rents for people. It's not going to really contribute to the affordability that we need. And Mamdani has shifted on that. And he told the New York Times that, you know, he's changed his mind on the role of private sector development and, you know, market rate housing. So, you know, I think he's open-minded. I think that he is open to a variety of kind of, like, YIMBY reforms. And he is really, you know, impressively conversant and becoming more and more fluent in this world. And, you know, we met with him and felt like he was really open-minded and he deserved a spot on New York's ballots.
Do you think that him seeing how fast that pool went up really, like, changed his mind about building housing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think it's like there is this efficiency piece to it, too. Where it's like,
he's like, dude, we could put a pool up and just put a board going from the fire hydrant.
Well, I will say modular housing.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, pools are holes, which is the opposite of a house in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
so I think you got
to
flip the script
like
a little bit
on pools,
that.
Justin.
Okay.
So,
fish.
Why do you guys think Democrats are so slow to back Zohran? What's up with Hakeem Jeffries, Chuck Schumer, Kirsten Gillibrand? They all failed to endorse Mamdani. And what's the alternative that they're endorsing?
There you go.
You know, I there's any number of things one could say here, but I'll be the most kind of kind, and I
would
say
there's
a personal fear that supporting him is sending some broader message that they don't believe is nationally relevant, when I think it's actually quite nationally relevant to talk about affordability, as you were saying, and do it in a way that hits people where they need it: childcare, housing, grocery costs, cost of living, the like. You know, and they're a lot of them are cowards, and they just don't want to be put in front of hard decisions. And he's been willing to do that himself, and they don't want to be made to look bad, which they are.
It's crazy that they're so scared. They're going to do it.
Yeah,
it's just so stupid.
What do they think?
In
that,
my
like,
mind,
some like centrist Democrat is going to come out of the wings and take over.
They can't. They have to endorse someone. They're endorsed these big maniacs. Eric Adams is a maniac who is like, everyone is like, he's Trump guy now. Yeah. You can't even think about him. Cuomo is sinking faster than a number one in the heavy pond that I'm talking about. And Curtis Lee, what looks normal next to them, which is horrible for everyone.
A lot of people are saying that.
Yeah, I know. And that is how low the bar is across the board. And from a national political perspective, first off, Gillibrand, you're not there. Get out of that.
Bye.
Just be good at your job and
bye,
stop
girl.
Thinking about all that. She's a mess. When it comes to, like, Schumer, write a letter, but get out of the picture. We don't need that anymore. And Hakeem Jeffries, I truly don't know what he's thinking.
I really don't know. He's supposed to be the young hope, right? Like, we're like, oh, we, you know.
And Zoran won Hakeem Jeffries' district.
Yeah.
Handily.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
By like 10 points.
Yes.
So his
yeah.
voters are on board with Mamdani. And I don't know. It's yeah.
It really is reflective of what's wrong with the Democratic Party in general.
Yes. But
they're like, I've got to focus test it first. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
From AOC.
Yeah.
Like, this just feels like 2018 all over again. It's been 7 years. Like,
yeah.
Have they not learned from...
Well, and by the way, he's more popular than any of those electeds that we've
yes.
just mentioned.
Yeah.
Gillibrand, Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, all yeah. less popular than
yeah.
Zoran is right now.
Yeah.
And from a national perspective, I feel like if you're not going to embrace someone who is getting people excited about politics in the Democratic Party right now, you are... What are you doing with your life? You're failing on every level. We have truly not, like, the Republican Party is pulling so, I know we don't talk about national politics, but just let's feel it for a second. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we are drowning in this world right now, to keep it on the pool topic, and we need anything we can grab onto. Let this man be someone that we can be excited about and spread that around. That's the biggest factor here.
By the way, and getting under 45 to vote, which they never do.
No one knows
that! It's like having a unicorn show up in front of your house, and they'd be like, no, that sucks.
I just turned 45 this year, and it's the first time I've ever voted.
Oh, yes!
So
I'm kidding, guys. I vote in everything.
Well, it's a lot of people, though,
it's,
who are
yeah.
in that position.
It's really frustrating. I mean, there was a story today that there's a group of very rich, I don't know, billionaires, or the super rich New York class, that someone was starting a new pack to try to stop Mamdani. And they haven't picked who they're supporting yet. But they're just getting money. Every like we're having $1,000 a plate fundraiser later this week. They're gaining money to get this war chest for this anti-Mamdani pack. But they can't decide who their candidate is. And that's because one is a sex pest. One is literally being blackmailed by Trump. And the other one is a Republican.
With a lot of cats.
Who I will have to say had maybe the greatest quote of the election season so far when he accused Cuomo of slapping fannies and killing grannies. I would wear that t-shirt. I would wear a t-shirt with Curtis's face on it.
I mean,
slapping
honestly,
fannies and killing grannies.
If rank choice was happening in the general, I would rank him second. I would. With that quote, he deserves my second choice.
Oddly enough, I think you're not alone, which is kind of
yeah,
a
I mean,
weird,
clearly,
weird
I
world.
I don't align with any of his policies in any way, but you know what?
So Lindsay,
better than the other do.
Lindsay, as someone who used to work for the governor and yep. then famously stopped working for the governor, what do you think's going through his head? I mean, he lost, he got completely humiliated in the primary, and now he's running third party, which he'd already reserved that third party ballot line ahead of time, so I guess he knew this could happen. I mean, does he just have nothing else to do with his life? He doesn't know what
else
to do?
He has nothing else. He has no other interests, like, really. He has no other talents, really. I mean, he's ostensibly a lawyer, but he's not really good at it. If you've read any books about him, he's not particularly intelligent. He's just good at bullying people. He's got nothing else. I mean, it's if I had 1 ounce of empathy for him, which I don't, I would feel bad for him. It's really deeply sad. I think it's a great example of, like, the worst of this era of men from another time. And that's why it's so great to, frankly, see a man who is the opposite of that running for office and going to be our mayor, hopefully. I mean, Cuomo is so desperate. It's like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, today he did a press conference by himself. He would never do that. He would always be surrounded by supporters so that they could validate him and say how great he is and be protected from interacting with real people. He was in front of a store with journalists today, in front of a women's clothing store. And I just know that he's hating himself, hating his team. They're all hating each other in their lives, and it's just kind of brilliant to watch. I mean, he's so unhappy. It's
say
terrible.
This over and over, but why don't these people want to spend more time with their grandkids? I was just in South Carolina, and we were on family vacation, and I thought, this is nice. I would love to not work and just, you know, being retired sounds great. Just, like, going to the pool. Hopefully it's open. You know, you never know with the incidents happening there in pools. But, you know, I don't understand why that generation just does not seem to want to leave. None of them.
So let's talk about the gerontocracy, because there's another very old man. Jerry Nadler, who is our representative where we live in Hell's Kitchen in Congress. Jerry Nadler, to his credit, was one of the first to back Zorma, so I'll give him that. Jerry Nadler has been in Congress since 1992, representing various parts of New York City as things have been redistricted. Lindsay, you ran against Jerry Nadler in 2020. We had you on our old show. Well, today, a 26-year-old named Liam Elkine announced that he is respectfully asking Nadler to retire and is running for Nadler's seat. Liam Elkin, he started an organization during COVID. He got a lot of press. He was delivering food and medicine during the very worst days of COVID here in New York. So he's 26. Nadler is 78. We did some math back in the green room. That's
took a while.
26 times 3 is 78. Wild. What do you guys think? Do you think that the Democratic Party is ready to get rid of their old dinosaurs?
I think we need an asteroid in a way that can somehow wipe out just dinosaurs. We don't know if that's what happened. That might have been a dinosaur-specific asteroid.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. We weren't there. But I think some of these people that we're trying to unseat were, so that's perfect in a lot of ways. Yes, we have to do this. We have to do this so hard.
I mean, Lindsay, when you ran against him 5 years ago, it was like, this guy's 73. He's really old. He's going to be, and now, will he retire? Do you have any insight into that?
I think we always hear rumblings. I think he will, unless something extraordinary happens, he'll retire in a way that enables county committee to put forth someone that he wants in the position. That's how he wants to do it. That's how I've heard he wants to do it, like Scott Stringer, for example.
So he'll run again, get the seat,
and then mid-term. Yeah, that is what I've heard for years, is his plan to do.
Just because he doesn't want to take an L. He doesn't want to lose.
It's not even that. He wants to, his handpicked person. It's
that's
like
so
a legacy issue.
It's
so shitty, but that's how he got the job. That is how he got the job.
Yeah, and then because once you install somebody into that position, they're the incumbent, and
it's really
hard to beat them.
Especially
in the Democrat, like in New York, the primary is the election in many ways, and so if they're not going to run anyone against you. The machine is really hard. I mean, you felt that, I'm sure, running up against a machine in that way. And
that's why I think it's so exciting that Mamdani has been able to break through.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is unheard of that that happens. And the whole machine, my county, your county, essentially, even behind the scenes, went against him. And they lost.
Yeah.
And that is profoundly exciting. And I think the same reason that we have a gerontocracy is because of this whole system. It's not even necessarily about having older people leading. It's about having only these people who've been doing the same thing their entire career. I don't mind
right.
if a few people are, we should have a variety of people with different perspectives.
You want fresh olds.
Fresh olds.
You want
exactly.
a fresh,
fresh
old
olds.
In there. Yes.
And I think it's great that I've read a little about Liam. I think it's great that people are running. I think people should challenge him. I think it is a hard race to challenge him because of this particular district. I'd like it to be progressive. So I'll put it there.
It is sort of sad, too, because it's like we think we have these elections, right? We think we're picking, but mostly we're not. We're getting someone installed by a party machine. I mean, that's how it's always been in New York City and everywhere else. And so now with the internet, people can really actually shake things up and break through, and it's very
You're so cool. jaded for a first-time voter.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
And that's why I voted for the first time.
When we vote in November, there will be some ballot proposals, and I wanted to talk about that quickly without getting too in the weeds, but we have an expert on housing here on the panel, and this fall, New Yorkers will have the chance to vote on 4 housing-related ballot proposals, and this is a reading from the website of the city. The first proposal would streamline the review period for affordable housing developments. The second would establish an expedited process for small-scale affordable housing projects. The third seeks to eliminate the mayor's veto power over land use decisions. And the fourth would unify and digitize the official city map. Our city maps are these big paper things that live in borough president offices. So that one seems easy. Let's make those digital. But Catherine, what is it about the city?
I love an old map, though. Don't you love an old map?
We need to make sure we keep the old maps.
Very vintage.
Very vintage. You can't Robert frame an Moses. iPad, Charlie. I mean, I guess you can. Sorry.
No, I mean, just to, I guess, translate it into plain English. I mean, the yes, first thank one you, is thank really, you. There's kind of two parts. If it's a public development or if you suck at building housing. So if you're in one of the 12 community districts that has built the least affordable housing over the past 5 years, then you get an expedited process and you don't go through the full 7-month ULURP, Uniform Land Use Review Procedure. Which
I think we all know what ULURP is.
Which comes after, you know, like 1 to 3 years of environmental review. So if you suck, you get this expedited process. If it's small, you get an expedited process. So if it is a modest change, it's ironic because all the, you know, community boards, which are, you know, very NIMBY, they'll always say, you know, we want new housing, but we just want something that's more contextual, that's small, that's not like a huge gargantuan development. But because the ULURP process is so long, the only things that can get through that can really, like, can, like, time is money, and this process takes so long, are these huge developments. And so basically this says if you're increasing residential capacity by 30% or less, then it's also an expedited process. And then the third is controversial, but I think good, where basically there are a couple of veto points in the process. One is if a city council member votes no on a development, there is this, it's a convention, it's not like a law or anything, but it's called member deference, the whole council votes no. And that's just like very perverse incentives. Like if you are local, like if your voters, like especially the loud NIMBY ones that vote in these off year elections, which we'll get to, if they're really angry about a development, like your job's on the line. And so actually the council member should not have the power to basically lead the whole council in saying no to something. So basically it sets up an appeals board, which would allow the mayor, borough president, and speaker of the council to, 2 out of the 3 of them could overturn that veto. So it's basically a second chance. So you suck, small, second chance.
So you're saying yes, 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 and yes.
Yes, yes, yes,
I
yes.
think a lot of people are saying, I mean, and I'm not in the same position as you, Catherine, but I think a lot of good people are saying yes. As like a career urban planner, I think it's a great idea because it basically takes the onus off of city council members having to either say yay or nay or put their heavy, you know, hand on the scale, and makes the city think in a more collaborative way. And yeah. I just think you're going to see a lot of negativity about it, but it's more about member power and city council power yeah. than it is about actual development of affordable housing and deeply affordable housing, which we need, right?
But we're all against that digital map, though, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I want to find it under a rock like Legend of Zelda.
Why is that something that has to be brought to a ballot initiative? The city map.
It's in the city charter that we must have a paper map in Mark Levine's office.
This is so weird. Yeah. Like, and then we're like, and then everyone in New York City must vote to change it. Guys, government's weird.
All right, there's one more ballot proposal, which I just want to quickly talk about because Catherine alluded to it. New Yorkers also might have the chance to move local elections to even years. Woo-hoo! As part of a Charter Commission ballot proposal. Right now, we vote in like 2025. You're laughing at Cody's.
I'm laughing at the level of excitement for an even year election.
It's so stupid. Woo-hoo! We have the weirdest voting thing. We're just like, you know what?
We all just
voted there, and now we're voting again, and let's vote again. And
it's fun. Keeps us busy.
Yeah, I mean, it is a full-time job.
The local consultant, sticker economy. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. So NYC turnout in presidential elections is more than double our turnout in mayoral elections. Advocates say that even year elections is one straightforward way of increasing turnout. It would also save the city $42 million every 2 years to not have to run all those elections. Opponents say that local races would be overshadowed by higher profile elections. Like, would we be having this big moment with Zoran if we were dealing with Biden dropping out of the race and Kamala getting in? Like, if this was last year, maybe Zoran would be kind of, you know, not in the news. Valid argument?
I think yes. We definitely, it would, all of that would supersede the more local elections. And, you know, it is expensive, but it makes this a national story. And so, like, not to be up against an idea that I think in general makes more sense.
You're going against my woo-woo.
I'm right in the face of your woo-woo with a because I do think, like, off-year elections, I think, reinvigorate a lot of the political process and remind us that it's not just the hype machine of the national election, and it gets more people engaged on the local level, which I think is what you guys are all the fuck about on this show.
But I'm not as, like,
turnout is
yeah,
so
low. Yeah, it's like
low.
So low.
It's low, but like, so?
You've actually given the best argument I've heard. I'm like, oh, well, that's pretty good.
Okay, sure.
But I was ready to be like, absolutely not. Let's all put it at the same time so people show up. But you gave a really passionate, poetic argument.
But I think right. what poetic, you're saying is, Justin, that you don't think everybody should get involved, just only the people
no.
that really want
Look,
to be there.
No, but like, if you're voting in, if you're literally only going to vote in the national election, then you're not involved in the local politics.
Yeah,
so,
I do find it very frustrating that, we talk about that this a lot on the show, that like New York is, there's so many people that are like, I don't really vote. They're all Democrats. It's all the same. And you want to like bang your head against the wall.
Yes.
You're like, you have no fucking idea. You think
yes.
Cuomo and Adams and
Barf.
Mamdani are the same?
Barf.
Like, are you kidding me? And they're all, you know, running. So it is frustrating when people are like, you don't, the things, that's partly why we started the show. The things that affect your day-to-day are local things. The national stuff is obviously important, but it's the day-to-day stuff, that, you know, all that is who you vote for in your local election.
And it's a little bit anti-democratic to be like, yes, the turnout's low, but those people are the ones who are engaged. And just relying on people to go there and be like, Democrat president, and just put in circles for people they don't even know the names of, like, that's not politics. That's like cheating on a test in high school.
Yeah.
I think like those are the same arguments that you use to suppress the vote that like Republicans in the South have used. It's like, oh, yeah, no, we should just make it hard to vote. And then really the people who care about it, it's like, we should make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
It's not making it harder to vote to just have the election
on
a different...
In a different year, it absolutely is.
People don't turn out, but the election, you hear about the election. And like, isn't this moment with Mamdani important? And we would have less of that.
This city, like, so much happens in the primaries that it wouldn't quite be the situation of like Biden and Kamala and all that stuff, because the primaries have already happened.
All right, here's a good question. This ballot proposal is going to be in an odd year election. So the people that are showing up to vote on this will be people that show up to vote in odd year elections. Therefore, it's in all of our interest to vote against it, so we keep the power of being the only people to vote.
My guess is
elections.
They're probably going to vote for it.
That's the answer is yes.
It has to be the state constitution. So this should basically just speed up the stuff. Yeah.
It's also funny to be like, I'm an odd year election guy. Odd hive, right? But that's not how it is.
I was born in an odd year, so, you know, I'm pro-odd. That's what I'm voting for.
I mean, there are other things we could do that make it easier to vote, like same-day registration, that kind of,
yes.
like, just automatic registration. There are all these sorts of things that would be even more impactful than that.
And also
they're not
save
doing
some
that.
Money, right? It's going to save some money, so we're going to be pinching pennies.
All right, I want to talk about Colbert for a little bit because we have a late night writer, director, producer here. So local hero Stephen Colbert's show was canceled this month, coincidentally around the time the Trump administration was evaluating their parent company's merger. Justin, having worked on several late night shows, what do you think is going on with the late night industry in general? Where are we headed?
Oh, well, talking about the larger industry, it's going down, like everything.
People don't stay up? Is that really true? Like, people don't want to watch anymore late night?
I mean, I think podcasts, no offense to what we're doing literally right now, have taken the place of what people used to go to late night to do, and everything.
Many people are just listening to this podcast and no longer watching Colbert.
That's why Colbert was canceled.
Direct. But also, just like across the board, the ad revenues have like gone way down across all of television, specifically late night, and specifically the budgets of those shows have gone up because it's more expensive to make them. So I do think that you could make the case that this is a purely economic decision that they're making, because Colbert loses reportedly the show $20 million. It costs $100 million to make the show all year. And that's just hard money. There's a lot of intangibles that come with it from when it comes to celebrity and for the network and everything. But it's losing $20 million a year because of the ad revenue fall off. So I think you could say, like, they could make a case we did it just because of an economic decision, as they're selling this major company to this other major, very rich, the second most rich person in the world, by some reports, who is going to maybe not make the best decisions. But I gotta think, someone somewhere, not on paper, was saying, like, and maybe we'll move this Colbert out of the way. Because the way it's been, the way Trump's talking about it, the way that the right is talking about it, it feels a little too, like, gotcha.
The timing is so suspect.
But it's more about them just, it's a business deal. Even the canceling Colbert for Trump, the Trump administration, is still about the business deal, because they needed to get through their deal that was being held up. And literally, 10 days later, the deal was passed, and now it's
been
made.
I mean, it's kind of like Columbia giving $200 million to the administration. Be like, well, we don't have any problems, do we? Like, it's the
Harvard's
same thing,
giving
right?
$500 million.
Well, I mean, it's all a step in the direction of growth.
Harvard is a Massachusetts institution, and this is a New York show, so we're not talking about Harvard. We're only
Can't
talking
we
about
shit
Columbia.
On Massachusetts and Harvard
yeah,
a little?
Massachusetts.
That's a New York thing!
That's
fuck
true.
New
that's
England.
True. Well, at the same time, CBS hired Barry Weiss to come in and do, you know, more conservative, you know.
Yes, and maybe
media
planning. I heard that they're having an perhaps a position of someone who can then step in at 60 Minutes and be like an ombudsman, be like, I don't know if you should cover that. And I'm like,
exactly.
What are we having like a heavy in the room
yeah.
when they're deciding what stories to cover? I mean, they're barely, and this is anecdotal maybe, but I feel like 60 Minutes, since all this is happening, is doing a lot of like
yeah.
interviews.
Well, doesn't it kind of make you wonder how quickly things just kind of fall, people of in institutions fall into place when there's the slightest inconvenience of pressure?
Harvard,
it's really fucking scary.
Harvard has money. Why are they paying the Trump administration? All of these, the pressure they're putting on everyone, these law firms, everyone caved first, and the rest of them are like, wait, this is bullshit. We can
yeah.
fight this in court. And Harvard's caving so hard. I'm like, how are you going to recover this reputationally? Yeah. How are you going to recover from this? Like,
yeah.
can we go back to being like, that's a cool place?
No.
They cave
immediately. I went to Columbia. I think it's, like,
it's,
really sucky right
It's
now.
Awful. It's embarrassing for these places that hold themselves up as, like, paragon. They caved. So fast. Were freshmen making this decision?
Yeah. Well, the only thing yeah. I'd add to that is who's going to defend them if they take on these cases, because all the appellate court federal justices who've been put in there by Trump, and then all of the white shoe law firms that have said, yes, let's
yeah.
sign up to do whatever you ask. So he's set up an entire ecosystem of corruption to basically put even more fear in these institutions. So it's not surprising, but it's still cowardly.
What's really sad is we started this show. We used to have another show where we talked about national politics, and we started that in 2015. And we started this show because we didn't want to talk about Trump anymore, and yet he still fucking comes to our stage
yeah.
and
yeah.
makes us talk about him.
We're talking
about our local stuff. And
he thinks globally. He thinks globally, but he acts locally.
Yes, he does. That's
all right,
true.
I want to talk about the local law. This is not going to be a good segue. We're just going to move on. But there's a bill banning the retail sale of birds in shops across the city right now. It's under consideration by the New York City Council. If passed, it would include popular birds such as parrots, finches, parakeets, and others. Animal rights activists say these birds that are in the wild fly hundreds of miles every day. They cross rainforests, savannas, and tropical mountainscapes. They are not meant to be sitting in your living room in a cage in Chelsea.
That's beautiful what you just said, but you said that's just popular birds? What are the unpopular birds that we're letting continue to be caged? Are people having turkeys that are just trapped in their house?
The raven.
The raven, the least popular bird.
Who is co-sponsoring this bill? Because it's not an Albany bill. It's not Linda Rosenthal, a friend of the show and also huge animal rights expert.
Yeah, of course.
It's in the New York City Council. I don't know who the sponsor is, but
wow.
I think it's banning the retail sale of all birds.
I think that feels weird because you could just go to Jersey to buy a bird, right? Am
hey,
I wrong?
There
Can
are birds everywhere.
Bird?
Just go get birds.
I mean, we doesn't it kind of follow how we have the ban on all of those pet shops that are like very inhumane? Even
Probably
obviously,
knows.
This is like a little bit more focused on ecological things, but I'm not against it. Am I? I don't know if I'm the minority.
So, Justin,
here.
You're for bird kidnapping. Is the solution to this?
If you can get a bird in your home, keep it.
I'm not against it. I just feel like it's like how we put those signs up in Times Square that's like, this is a gun-free zone. You're not allowed to have a gun here. And then we're like, yay, we did it. So it just sort of feels like we're going to be like, great, you can't buy a bird.
Yes, there are
going to
be
Jersey?
Secret birds, if that's
know.
What you're worried about. There are secret tigers in this city.
I don't really get that. I feel like the logic doesn't make sense. Like, dogs also would have roamed and run around, and, like, they're sitting in Studio Park.
I guess you take your dog out for a walk, and you don't take your bird out for a fly.
That's what you don't do, but some people might.
Well, that's the end. That's the end.
I would like to plug the Wild Bird Fund, because they do amazing work, and they take in your wild birds.
I don't want to come across as anti-bird. I am pro-bird. I support the birds. I want the birds to fly free. So I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, let me come out in two ways here and say, fuck birds as pets. They're the worst pet. Have you had a bird?
Yeah. I had a parakeet once.
They
for
poop
10
a lot.
Days and then
they
died. Probably because it
gross.
Was sad it couldn't fly 500 miles.
Poop a lot. You kept it trapped for so long. Those birds, if you teach a parakeet a noise, it will haunt you for the rest of its life. Fortunately, they die faster than humans. Because my sister had a bird, and it was hell. It would make noise all the time. It would get out all the time. We had to like stop everything we were doing.
How did it get out?
Because when you get it out, you put it on your finger, and you have it sing its little song. It's horrible. It's a nightmare pet.
So it like really tricked you into getting it out, and then it's like la la la. It's like see you, suckers.
See, Cody, you're saying this bird tricked me like intentionally, and I'm not saying this bird like had a plan.
It
certainly had time to come up with a plan in its cute little cage.
I want to talk about public restrooms. Sorry. So earlier this month, Mayor Eric Adams trumpeted the installation of 5 modular stainless steel public bathrooms. If we could get the picture, picture number 2.
Oh, wow.
These are called Portland Loos.
Looks like a prison bathroom for those of you listening at home.
Just to be clear, though, this isn't diarrhea. Right?
I think it's dirt.
Because that's a very indicting picture of this public bathroom.
Yeah.
So the picture on the left is the press photo. The picture on the right is like 1 week later.
Yeah.
So these are based off a design created by the city of Portland. They look okay from the outside, but Hellgate reports that they get pretty muddy on the inside. The bathrooms cost $1 million, including installation, which is much less than traditional bathrooms cost in New York City, and they can be deployed a year faster. In the meantime, in our neighborhood of Hell's Kitchen, the Parks Department just outlined a bathroom renovation for one of our public parks that will cost $2.2 million, take 3 years, and will leave the park with no bathroom for 18 months of that time.
There's already a bathroom there. Just want to clarify. Yeah. This isn't like, oh, we have to like move a water pipe. It's literally just renovating the existing bathroom. They're like 3 years... $3 million.
Worth
it. People renovate apartments all the time.
Yeah.
It takes less than 3 years.
Well, it does take a long time for that, too. I think we're all in the wrong business. We should start renovating bathrooms, and we would be billionaires.
Fast renovations? Yeah. I appreciate the casual surgery table that's in this Portland bathroom.
Yeah, what is that? Is that a surgery table?
For well, how big is your baby? That's a human. That's an adult table.
I think this is a fisheye camera distorted.
Why are there leg holes? Doesn't it look like there's 2 little leg holes to cramp?
That's a crazy. Also, the changing table's in the middle of the room, so you can have a group there. Are we all gathering around to change this
child? Your child from the toilet.
Yeah,
I
could
be.
I
will
change each other. Yeah,
I'll be a contrarian here on the toilet cost situation. Now, I can't vouch for these specific toilets, but my first article that was ever in the paper about my work was managing Bryant Park bathroom.
And the nicest bathroom.
The renovation of it cost the last one $300,000 renovating an existing building. Think about it. At the very least, not Bryant Park, maybe these tens of thousands of people are shitting in here every year at the lowest use.
That's really
better.
We talk about food deserts. Think about shit deserts. There's nowhere
we're
to
living
go
in one
in the city. And so this is a huge amenity. It has to be connected to water sanitation lines. It has to be dialed into all of the logistical issues of the city. And the industrial design was not done well here. You can see where all the problems are with that. That is actually kind of expensive. I am not vouching for Eric Adams toilets, but I would vouch for the $1 million public restrooms where like millions of people are using them every year.
So wait, that is a good point, but let's take the existing...
The same toilet, that toilet, thousands of people are going to sit on
That's
their
true.
Ass.
It's really beautiful the way you talk about poetic.
Just to be the contrarian here.
But why should it cost $3 million to renovate an existing structure?
You know, I don't know what they're doing there. That's right. I went and looked up the last renovation cost for Bryant Park, and it's this beautiful... if you've seen it in Midtown.
It's really nice.
You know, marble,
guys.
Existing structure.
Fresh cut flowers.
Several hundred thousand dollars. I don't think $1 million is pie in the sky. $3 million sounds like a lot. Yeah. I don't know if it's over a subway system. Sometimes these utilities are co-located with public mass transit. I don't know what it is, but the cost is much less surprising when you think about how many people's asses are sitting on that toilet and then other uses.
Why are so many people sitting? You should be squatting over a
I know,
toilet
I'm just
people.
Saying.
I have
wow.
to say, I mean...
Leg strength.
I think it is the easy answer to say it costs way too much to build a public toilet. I agree with you, Catherine, that we should be able to do this for cheaper. We have too many regulations, the whole abundance thing.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Let's make things easier. But when you talk about it on like a per shit to dollar ratio, that is interesting. Like, there's a lot of shits in
like,
my
you don't want cholera from going into the public restroom,
yeah,
do you?
Keep it out of the pools. I will say...
Or Legionnaire's disease. That's actually happening right now. There's a Legionnaire's disease
like, that's why
out
Paris
like in New York City.
Osman did their whole redesign was because people were getting sick from the shit in the street.
Here, give me $200. I'll bolt down a porta potty in any neighborhood you want.
That sounds
same
great.
Thing.
I'm there for you. We should make a poop podcast.
Just as good.
Charlie, do you want to talk about your phantom porta potty that you saw?
Phantom?
There was a porta potty in the super sidewalk on 8th Avenue and 47th Street for the last 2 days. It was just in the middle of the sidewalk, a purple
no
porta
way.
Potty.
No way. Stopped.
Right in the middle of Times Square.
Did you use it?
I was thinking about filming a prank.
You know, that was candid camera.
That's where your head goes.
But then it got removed.
I was like, this is going to be gone. I want to talk about weed shops for a little bit.
Great.
Reading from the New York Times, more than 100 licensed cannabis dispensaries in New York were allowed to open too close to schools and may have to move. State law prohibits dispensaries from opening within 500 feet of schools, and for the past 3 years, regulators have measured the distance from the entrance of the potential dispensary to the entrance of the school. However, the regulatory agency said on Monday that the distance should have been measured to the school's property line. Mm. Do we care if weed stores are slightly too close to schools? We're all parents on this panel. Do we care?
I mean, I do. I don't want
if they're too close.
I do. I don't. I mean, okay. Like, to each their own, whatever kind of indica, whatever weed you like, good for you.
Nice.
You like off-label, whatever. But I really want my 11-year-old wafting smells like in front of her school. And there's a reason for that. I mean, I'm not like puritanical about it. I think,
do you feel like if they went from not the property line but to the entrance of the school, they should move?
Well, think about most of these schools. Like some schools can take up an entire block. And if you're talking about the door, what are we really talking about? Logistics, there's a reason why that mandate was in place. When you think about a mid-block and property lines, that's not insignificant. I think the bigger issue is all of the illegal, non-permitted... if you got rid of all of this like random deli / weed shop thing that is everywhere...
Which they are making a dent in.
I think that, as a parent, would do more for me, just that it was more actually managed and... I know the FDA is not at the point where they're engaged in this, but if there was more regulation over that, I would care less about if it's the door or the side of the building of my kid's school.
Catherine, Justin, do you guys care about your kids? Or?
I feel bad for the people who went through this whole process of, like, I'm on my community board, and, like, see how long it takes. So I do feel bad that, the state or the city messed up, and now these people have, like, they spent all this time finding a place, and so, like, I care about how they are compensated, and I care, like, and there have been some proposals just grandfather them in, and, like, my kids are 3 and 1, so I'm not...
They're not vaping yet?
They're not.
Not quite.
Soon.
Haven't introduced them.
I think, I agree with you totally. The illegal stores are the biggest joke in the world over the last several years. I think in our neighborhood, most of them are closed. They're still sitting there, shuttered, and they're a blight, but they're mostly closed. So I think that problem finally got solved about 2 years longer than it should have taken to get it solved. But, you know, those were the stores that had, like, Mario and Luigi taking bong hits and giant girls on the side of them. And, like, I guess, like, I don't really want my kids seeing that, but my kids are smart enough that I don't really care about that either. But I think a well-regulated, you know, state dispensary where there's somebody standing at the door and you have to be 18 to get in, I don't care if it's next door to a high school.
I will say I have not noticed people partaking of weed outside the legal dispensaries. I think
just
that was...
literally everywhere else.
New York City. Yeah, but I haven't noticed, that's true, every other single place, but I haven't noticed it like an issue of like, everyone's like, there's going to be people hanging out outside and smoking weed, and they don't. They get their weed and they leave.
I mean, the bigger problem is the jewels, the like electronic.
Yes. Yeah. That's where I would focus the work, is getting rid of those, because when When all gas, no brakes opened in my neighborhood.
All gas, no brakes.
All gas, no brakes. Across the street from a school. I feel like they were unregulated, and it's still open to this day.
It's still open? You should be calling to get them kicked out.
They seem happy. Everyone seems fine.
We had a guy that set up a table in between the playground and our children's school, right at pickup. Now, it's an elementary school, so he wasn't getting a lot of business. And he just had a thing that said weed, and he had a little like piece of paper that had like what he was selling. And we called the police on this gentleman, and I don't think they ever came. He worked for like a week. Well, just, I was like, dude, who are you selling this weed to? This is a 4-year-old.
I mean, let me say, though, like I do feel like the door to the property line, this is a weed place now, this entire city. So
yeah,
I think it's hard to go in there and start pushing everyone around just from a building perspective. And let me also say there's a little bit of hypocrisy here. I went to a kids' elementary school parent party.
Where's this going?
And I'll tell you in one second, and hopefully no one's going to hear this in the crowd who was there, but a third of the people were like, hey, do you want some of our mushroom chocolates?
Oh my God.
A third were like, what tincture can I put in your drink? And a third were just drinking regular cocktails.
You clearly live in a cooler area than I do.
I'm telling you, it is not that much cooler. I think just the culture, and the kids are at this party. So like, if you're going to start pushing back on these people trying to get their business going and whatever, why are you then at a party just taking in the same
substance?
When
I found mushroom chocolate, I will say, is a huge flex at a child's birthday party.
That is a huge flex.
I'm sorry,
that is a huge
but
flex.
Like,
agree.
Holy shit.
That is
what
a huge flex.
I would be so paranoid that some child
would eat
the
chocolate. It's like an EMDR birthday party.
I would be terrified. But anyway, but good for them. Good for them. But one thing that I think is really interesting about all of this is the floodgates have opened all over America. Like I said, we were on vacation in South Carolina, and I went out to dinner, and they're selling weed drinks.
Oh, yes. Really?
In South Carolina. It's South Carolina.
Where weed is still illegal.
It's illegal
there.
There's
that weird, like, farm bill that made
it. But that's also scary, because, like, I mean, at a certain point, an FDA should be like, this is how much your body can absorb.
Yes.
And you're like, am I drinking a liquid? How much
exactly.
is it? Is this gummy 25 tranquilizers for an elephant? Like, what is this?
Yes, and they're giving you this. It's a,
that's a little
it's
scary.
It's like hemp, I guess, or whatever. I don't know.
The Delta, I bet it's Delta 9.
THC.
Yeah, but I thought it was weird because I was like, oh, we don't have that in restaurants here, and it's legal.
That's
but it's
so
because
strange.
We have a liquor lobby that's like, no, we're not selling this. It's separate. So I do think that there are some benefits to having it be legal. It's the Wild West all over the country now, and you can, you know, I like these things being regulated. I like to know where I'm getting my chocolate.
I also don't know if my kid's any more likely to be interested in it, because she's like, oh, it smells like weed. Let's keep walking fast. I'm like, how do you even know what that smells? She's like, how could I not know?
All right.
I was at all gas, no brakes, Mom.
She's like, I'm a New Yorker. I know what pee smells like, and I know what
weed
smells
pee.
Like.
So speaking of smells, I want a couple of subway topics. If we could get photo number 3 up, please.
Oh,
the MTA installed new barriers at 50 stations earlier this month. What does the panel think of these? We had like the yellow ones for a while, but now with 50 stadiums have these new barriers.
What are they for?
They're so you don't get thrown on the tracks by a crazy person.
Just in that little section, though. They can just throw you in.
I would say if I was a thrower, I would just take a couple steps down the way.
Yeah. You're just so everyone's going to line up there and wait. Okay, cool.
Like, tourists are just going to white-knuckle it to those things and then cautiously run onto the train?
I guess this is probably another fisheye photo that's distorting things a little bit, but
I believe
they are, you know, they're not in front of the doors. They're everywhere but the doors.
That's great.
Right.
And then they pop, I bet they were $3 million each?
Yeah.
Right? Something like that.
I mean, the whole point of this industrial design, as I understand it, is it's like traffic calming. You can't be everywhere. It's just to kind of reinforce better behavior, but I'm not sure that makes me feel better about someone pushing me off. Now, the likelihood of that happening is very low, but I guess if you want to have like a Titanic moment, you can stand in front of there.
That's beautiful.
There was a report about it, and apparently they were like, experts were like, yeah, it could be safer, but it also could be less safe because someone could get caught. Like,
that's what I think.
Oh, jeez. I'm not going near that at all. No, I'm not.
I like that they're like, we didn't really study it. We just put them up. We don't know. It could be good, could be bad, but we don't know. See how it goes.
Subway pushers, I think, are the sharks of New York City. Where, like, and my wife is very much, she's like, don't go in the fucking ocean. there's a shark mouth waiting for you.
What?
And I'm like, that's not what, the ocean is the same. Maybe sharks are moving a little bit, but there's not, I'm not risking my life. I mean, the water's like 3 feet deep. There's not a shark I'm stepping into the mouth of. And I feel like subway pushers were all like, that person could push you in. I'm like, okay, but he's not. Is pushing going up? Do we have the stats
on this? Well, let's talk about subway safety, because that was my next question. There was a recent Bloomberg article that analyzed the statistics of subway safety and found that annual deaths per 100,000 residents to be 0.4 people. Yeah. By comparison, the average deaths per 100,000 residents in a traffic accident in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, home of Traffic Secretary Sean Duffy, is 15 people.
Yeah.
So 0.4 per 100,000 residents subway deaths and 15 per 100,000 residents of traffic deaths in Wisconsin, 30 times greater. So why is Sean Duffy so scared of the New York City subway? Why are these white conservative men terrified of our subway?
I think it's the same reason that ICE is doing what it is. It's just a mirage to focus on someone else, make the problem someone else. This is who you should be afraid of. New York City is such a big, scary place. This is how you should treat it. You're much safer on the subway than walking even the streets of New York City, let alone another city. I think it's all meant to reinforce a sense of fear that has no bearing on reality.
I agree completely. Like, keep I'm from upstate New York. I go home and people are like, New York City, how did you get out? And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I am legend.
It's crazy. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you are so close to here. You should know. You know that there are concerts there with bands you like. Like, you are aware of the news media. It's crazy you believe that shit. But it's keep people scared when truly, like, the subway is, I love the subway. It's, you're around people all the time. It shows that New Yorkers are still very friendly because people are helping each other out all the time. It's not just the best way to get around. It is like a PR tool for this city to ride on it and be around New Yorkers who are inherently good people who take care of each other, as opposed to walking around on a small town street. That's fucking terrifying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I probably have to be a downer, but I feel like as a country, learns to accept some deaths and not others. Like, we talk about, like, traffic accidents, when it's actually traffic violence, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have learned to accept that, like, a certain number of people die in car accidents. And it's like, obviously no one should die in a random, you know, subway act of violence either, but, like, it is much safer to ride the subway than to be in any other kind of moving vehicle, like, around the country. And I just think we are so status quo-oriented about what we accept.
Well, so conservative critic Charlie Kirk was in town last week, and he posted on X about his trip to New York City. He said, was just in NYC all weekend with our family, never felt safe. So many people in the city who don't belong. Which, you know...
He's such a fucking baby.
I know. But I can't believe those guys are so proud of being like, the scary city, my family. I was like,
then why did you fucking come here? Go back, Charlie Kirk. I don't fucking want you here.
But I just don't understand. It used to be that it was like, I am an adult. I can go do things. And now it's been flipped where it's like, I can't do anything anymore. It's like, because you have to grow up and be a person.
But that's also the same guy who's like, fuck your feelings. You know? It's like, come on.
Everything's
baby.
So twisted up with what pride is anymore. Going back to talk about like these older politicians who are all about pride and being in charge and everything, and then they sit in office until they're too old to do anything, that they have to be dragged out of office in an embarrassing way. And it's like, what happened to, how does that square? Yeah. The two sides of that pride, I don't understand.
I mean, I have this long term thing that I always say that, like, you know, and New Yorkers are guilty of this too, right? They'll be like, in my day it was better, you know, we knew all the drug dealers and they knew us, and you're like, okay. But, you know, it's just like, I think people realize that life is better when you're 20, and then they're like, it was better then. It was like, well, you were 20, and they're like, oh yeah, I just liked my life better then. So I think that's all it is. I think everybody just really enjoyed the time they had when their body worked, when their knees weren't creaky.
I think we'd all trade places with a 20-year-old Charlie Kirk right now, right?
Yes, oh, I wish I could be a Charlie Kirk.
I mean, he's also super racist, obviously.
Yeah. Yes.
Some people don't belong.
What does that mean?
Putting the racism, obvious xenophobia aside. But the thing that drives me crazy is, you know, we had a horrific shooting in New York 2 days ago. And but it's like every time something happens in New York, it's like, oh, cities are so dangerous. We you know, this is terrible. Or someone gets pushed on the subway, and we have to deal with years of the subway is dangerous. What are we going to do about it? But people get shot up in a Walmart all the time, right? And we never said, what are we going to do about Walmarts?
There was a stabbing in a Walmart last 2 weeks ago.
It's like, well, we need to look at what the country is doing with the Walmarts.
I think people don't realize we have, like, you know, a little under, we have under 10 million people here, and there's no other city in the country that has that population. I mean, if you feel it in even Seattle downtown, if there's an unsafe Target here, you have millions of people living on top of each other. Of course, you're going to have incidents at a certain point, just demographically speaking, numbers of people.
Especially when people from Las Vegas who can buy a gun from their coworker
somewhere else,
and you know. Yeah. Double park on Park
Avenue. I knew we'd get to it. I knew we'd get to your real problem here. Take a bike, killer.
The Luigi Mangione got away on a bike, so we're not saying that all.
You're all implicit in this crime.
No, everyone's bad.
One final question that is about bikes. Brooklyn Councilmember Justin Brannon is demanding that Lyft install an age verification program to prevent riders under the age of 16 from renting electric city bikes. Mm. Currently, no one under 16 is allowed to ride any type of city bike, but nothing prevents kids from lying about their age. What should the age be for riding the white city e-bikes?
Huge question.
Or what's the verification? How are you going to do that? Do a breathalyzer and analyze their DNA? And guess what? They're actually... I mean, is there going to be a bouncer at every city bike station?
Ask them questions about 90s television.
AI.
They'll never get that.
I mean, I think it's at the app level. You couldn't have a city bike app, but then you could probably just use...
Your parents would do it or something. Yeah. Yeah. I like that idea, Justin. We say, can you do that on television?
Really good.
Or you can't. Really do I don't get anyone? No.
I know,
you were born
you.
In 1980.
That's if they wanted to keep the bikes in the hands of the 40-year-olds exclusively.
Exactly.
I think the e-bike thing is at a different level. I mean, I wouldn't really want my kid riding it till a certain point. I like went on my first e-bike and I like flipped out and almost killed myself. And I've ridden my bike in the city for 20 years, like very illegally in a very unsafe way, and I felt good about it. But not now because they're ticketing.
That's right.
But the e-bike thing, I think, is something that should be managed and have more responsibility associated with it.
But that's a parental thing, right? Like, I agree. I don't want my kid to ride an e-bike.
So I think she should have to show some kind of identification of age, personally. I may be the minority here, but I think that's fair. I mean, it's not like riding a normal bike.
But what is it?
Some sort of driver's license.
Driver's licenses in New York.
But you can get... I mean, if you...
So how do you prove their...
You could... There's ways to do it, like... I'm sure Lime, for example, has figured out ways to do that with their scooters.
I mean, I'm not against it. I just don't know how they will do it.
Most of the kids are stealing
the e-bikes. A lot of them are.
There's always a way to get around these regulations. I just think it would be... I don't think it's a bad idea to have more enforcement around a certain age around, like, electronic bikes.
I agree. It's fair. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just, like, I wish there were more of an emphasis on, like, the other things that are killing kids in the city.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Brannon in City of Yes, he, like, exempted his district from parking mandates, and it's like, car culture is so much worse for kids.
Absolutely.
Than, you know,
and the traffic calming of sidewalk cafes and all those things were great for this, and all of the various linear parks and things help with safety on bikes. That all is premier.
I think for me, like, all the e-bike stuff is a matter of emphasis. Like, cars are killing more people.
Oh, yeah, of course.
On car speed limits.
No question.
Ask Sammy's law to, like, allow New York City to lower the speed limit for cars, and we're only talking about e-bikes. So, yes.
Yeah.
But I agree. Kids should be safe, and they shouldn't be.
Well, there's a few traffic circles where cars are killing the majority of the people who die in the city. I mean, why aren't we doing more about that? I mean, it's pretty insane, to your point.
Yeah. More pools on the street. More pools on the street.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to wrap it up. Catherine, what do you plug Abundance New York or anything else that you want to plug?
Oh, sure. Sign up abundanceny.org. We are a group of New Yorkers advocating for a city that can build more and that can provide more than enough of everything that New Yorkers need. And we have a monthly happy hour that's really fun. So sign up.
Yay!
Yeah.
Cool.
Justin, anything to plug?
I feel bad just plugging like podcasts and stuff now, but
you said it was ruining Colbert.
I do a show called Characters Welcome here at this very theater every last Friday of every month. We have an active YouTube channel. You can check that out. And I do a podcast called Comic Book Club if you like comic books as well.
Lindsay, anything to plug?
Make sure you vote for Zoran for mayor.
Yeah.
Yes, he can win. Not only win, but with a big mandate, so necessary changes happen. That's great. What I would say.
All right. Let's give it up for our three panelists. Yeah.
Keep your swim diapers tight out there, guys. It's pool season.
Thank you guys so much for coming out to see Not In My Backyard. Our next show will be September 24th. In the meantime, we want to thank UCB for letting us do the show here. We want to thank Tyler Walker, who does our theme song. And we want to remind all of you to vote
in midterm elections.
Thanks
yes.
A lot.
On your hive, get weird.
Thanks, everyone.